We are back for another year of Take the Points, the Take the Points podcast. My name is Tom Zeleznak. I am in Connecticut. I'm here with Dan Partridge from Phoenix, Arizona. Daniel, feels good to be back.
Hell yeah, it does. Fuck yeah. This college football season cannot have come any sooner. Cannot wait. So excited.
I've been getting good at holding off my excitement, but just in the last, I would say, week or two, I'm starting to feel the college football fever.
I know. I mean, we're recording this podcast on Monday, August 31st. So September 1st, I'm ready.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. In only 3 short days, I will be sitting 100 level at UConn Villanova.
Congratulations, Tom.
It's a Thursday night, so I'm not going to miss any real games. That's the key. When you go see a UConn football game or a Syracuse game for that matter, number one thing is, in Syracuse, I'm not going to freeze to death in the weather, but also I'm not going to miss any big games on TV.
Very smart. There's no reason to miss anything for those awful teams.
Yes, and when that is the number one thing that's said about your program, it's time to reassess. But we'll get to those crappy teams later. Dan, this will be our season preview, our quick season preview / week one lines. Anything you want to say about the last 8 months or so before we get started?
Well, it kind of was a quiet off season compared to, you know, last year with Jameis and a bunch of other nonsense. I mean, I don't know. It was pretty quiet. I mean, there are a lot of players that went on to the NFL. There's a lot of unknowns this year with a lot of new, quarterbacks and stuff like that. It was very quiet, and it's weird because, you know, we're not having college football till like, you know, September 6th. I mean, last year was like August 27th. I don't know. It was just a weird off season, but I'm really excited for this year because everyone's, you know, really sure that Ohio State's going to win it all. But if they don't, it's completely wide open. So really fun to see how it plays out. Real quick, Ohio State, the odds for them to win the national title just keep going down and down and down. Right now, it's at 2.5 to 1, which is crazy. Alabama, a few years ago, when they were like just smashing everybody, I think the lowest they ever got was, I believe, 4 to 1 for title odds before the year. So that tells you how much Vegas is really scared of Ohio State winning the title. So they're only going to lay you 2.5 to 1 at this point. So there you go.
Well, it makes sense to me. I mean, there's a lot of talent back, a lot of QBs left. But at other positions, I've never seen so much talent coming back. I think with all the freshmen and sophomore heavy recruits starting so young these days and guys just being thrust into the starting position, the good thing is that you start a new season and now even the casual fan knows like half of the players. Right. I mean, there are just so many talented guys coming into this season. And even guys like, say, Jeremy Johnson at your favorite team, Auburn.
Oh, I love Auburn.
He's a new starting quarterback, but a lot of college football fans, I think, are already familiar with his work.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a whole bunch of, you know, really good players back. You know, obviously all the Ohio State guys, you know, TCU's got some guys back. Our boys down in Waco, people think that just because their quarterback's gone, they're no good. They got 9 out of 11 offensive starters back, only missing their quarterback, Bryce Petty, and one offensive lineman. All skill positions are back, all the wide receivers, all the running backs, the Shaq Linwoods, the, you know, crazy wideouts. The KD Cannon show will be in year 2, his sophomore year. He's so good that he could have went to the pros after last year, but he's got to play 2 more years. Next year, he might catch 2,000 yards. It'll be crazy. So, anyway, I'm really excited for this year. It's wide open outside of OSU, so I'm excited to roll the dice.
It'll be good. I think KD Cannon gets less respect than he deserves because he sounds like someone who should be playing the Lilith Fair.
I think you're
People
right.
People don't take him seriously.
That's
but he's
right.
He's good. We'll get to Baylor. Maybe for anyone who's a new listener, we should describe this podcast very quickly. This is a college football show, like many others. We focus specifically on gambling because we're two degenerates. Uh-huh. And so the season preview will be more of a traditional preview show, but then we'll get into the gambling toward the end of the show. So If you're a degenerate like us, skip ahead halfway and go straight to that. All right, Dan, let's start in the Big Ten. I think it's the easiest one. Dan, can anybody beat Ohio State? Sure. I'm obligated as somebody with a podcast to say that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm never going to say no. It's college football. We've seen teams we thought were unbelievably good teams, like the Florida team with Tim Tebow as a senior you never thought could possibly lose. You know, Alabama team with McElroy losing, you know. So anything's possible. And I know they got multiple quarterbacks, and they got Ezekiel Elliott, and they got, you know, all those defensive players and Urban Meyer, but they are a very heavy favorite for a reason. They play a very easy schedule. They have a ton of talent, and if someone gets hurt, they're so good they're not going to miss a beat. So, but college football is so weird; anything can happen. I mean, we've seen crazy upsets in our whole lifetime.
Matt Leinart USC team, which was one of the most talented teams I've ever seen in college, going down to a little guy named Vince Young, who no one really knew before the season.
Absolutely. I mean, I love college football because all it takes is one game. Where in the NFL, if it happens in, you know, October, it means nothing. But
true anymore, though, with the playoff? I feel like Ohio State could drop one and they're still going to easily get in the playoff.
I guess that's a valid point. I guess they'd have to lose twice, but maybe they lose in their conference title game and they still have one loss, but there's two undefeateds and maybe they look horrible. I mean, who knows? I mean, but yes, it is possible, but I would be very shocked if they're not in the Final Four. I'd say there's a 95% chance they're in the Final Four.
So I agree with you, and that's why I wanted to start with this this conference, because I think it's the easiest. Michigan State's the second best team, but I still think they are one level below Ohio State, mm-hmm. just in terms of skill positions as a team, offense, defense, pretty much everything. I think Ohio State's a little bit better, except maybe receiver.
And maybe quarterback. Connor Cook, I mean, he looks so awful. I mean, you know, 2 years ago when he was a freshman, but he's going to be a really high draft pick. He might go number one overall. It's possible. He has all the intangibles to play like a pro-style offense. And in a cold kind of weather game where you might need to make a couple passes, I think there's a chance that Michigan State could beat Ohio State this year. So there you go. Watch out for Connor Cook. He's the real deal, apparently. We'll find out.
In your opinion, any chance Ohio State just implodes from, you know, too much pressure, too much hype, too much ego?
No, because they play such a horrible schedule. It's not like playing in the SEC where, you know, it's a bunch of physical teams. Like, they're going to blast a bunch of Big Ten teams early and be up 35-0 and be resting starters and joking around. So it's going to be really hard. Ohio State's going to roll through everybody. It's going to be really bad. If you're an Ohio State hater, you might want to close your eyes for a couple months. It's going to be pretty bad.
Do you want to talk about Michigan, or shall we just skip them?
Michigan's intriguing. There was a good article that I read in the offseason about Michigan, how, you know, a lot of people will give credit to Harbaugh if they improve, you know, which they will. But if you look at some of the recruiting done over the past 2 years by Brady Hoke, like, all the pieces were kind of coming together for this year. I'm not saying like a national title run, but for like, you know, a 9-10-11 win season. And
to not be horrible.
Yeah, exactly. So expect Harbaugh to do pretty well this year, and people to get way too excited, and the pollsters might do something dumb. Like, if Michigan's like 4-0, you'll see him at 11. And you'll just be like, come on, man. Like, they're not the 11th best team in the SEC. But, you know, all that shit will happen, and hopefully we can make money, you know, later in the year when they play some decent teams. But Michigan will be improved. Harbaugh should bring an improvement with his NFL experience. Kids want to go to the league. It's real simple. So look for Harbaugh and Michigan to be good in 2 or 3 years. I think they'll be good this year. They'll take a step back next year, and then year 3 and 4, they'll be on par with Ohio State or close.
All right, it'll be intriguing. I don't know what kind of talent they have there in Michigan right now, but Harbaugh's a great coach. As much as people might not like him personally, he always produces results on the field.
He's an asshole.
Penn State, a fourth team that I think is going to be pretty competitive. I'm a little biased because I am a Penn State fan, but they'll be much better this year. They have arguably the best quarterback in all college football. They have good receivers who really came around at the end of last year, good tight ends. competent running backs, not great running backs, a very stout defense that if the defense didn't play so well last year, they would have lost every single game. Remember, people forget this, but they took Ohio State into overtime, basically on the strength of their defense.
I can't believe that happened. See, and if, exactly. Anything can happen. There you go. Sorry.
Right. And if Joey Bosa didn't throw their running back into Hackenberg on the last play, maybe Penn State could have won that one. But I think Penn State has one of the easiest schedules I can remember them having. What you need to look for is week one, they play at Temple. And while that may sound like a joke of a game, Temple is an interstate rival, and they're a lot better this year than they've been, or they're predicted to be a lot better. What you want to watch for is if Penn State has any offensive line. Last year, their offensive line was the worst offensive line to probably ever play at Penn State, and they're, you know, at least since like 1955 or something, back when guys wore like leather helmets and smoked tobacco, like out of a pipe.
Yeah,
during the game.
Yeah, like in the huddle.
Yeah. So anyway, if their offensive line can, you know, manhandle Temple and push them around as a program of that nature should be able to, then Penn State's going to be in good shape this year. Look for them to win 8 games, 9 games, possibly even 10, although I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Yeah. If the line struggles at Temple and they win that game by like 7 or 10 points, then you're looking at another 500 season for Penn State. So watch that game and bet accordingly. And the rule with Penn State, Dan, always bet the under.
Fair enough.
So the rest of the teams in the Big Ten aren't really worth talking about. I would say Wisconsin's going to win the West. Nebraska might give them a run. I think Iowa's still down. Minnesota's a joke. Illinois showed some potential last year, but now thanks to the firing of Tim Beckman, a.k.a. Bud Kilmer.
3 days like before the season starts, which is the best shit I've ever seen.
He literally did what Bud Kilmer did in Varsity Blues, like when he gave the guy the illegal shots, and they're like, make him understand.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's basically what they said he did. Allegedly, Dan. Allegedly.
That would happen.
We are the one podcast that's not afraid of getting sued, whether it's for slandering people or using unauthorized music clips.
I can't wait for like about October when like Mike Leach gets fired again. We're going to get him on the podcast this year and see if we can get Leach on here to tell us the real story about putting what the hell was his name in the.
Oh, he put that kid in the closet. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear about that.
Was that who was that?
Craig James's son.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Craig James wasting our time on multiple networks our whole life. So I'm guessing his son was the dick and Mike Leach was right. And I want him on the podcast to clear his name.
Mike Leach was right. Might be the best. That might be the quote of the year.
I'm going to change one of my fantasy football team names to that, I think, by the end of this podcast.
Mike Leach was right.
Yeah.
All right.
Or just like Mike Leach, all in caps, to really drive home that point.
I think I'm going to change mine to Yeezus 2020.
Oh, well.
President Kanye.
It's epic speech. How could you not?
Oh, he's the best ever.
He's out of control.
I think we're done with the Big Ten.
Move on.
Let's move to one of the most intriguing conferences, one that we don't have a particular rooting interest, or at least we shouldn't. But we do, and that's the Big 12.
Yeah,
and
do.
Dan, one of your favorite teams, maybe your favorite team of the last 5 years, is the Baylor Bears. So I'm going to let you start and take it away with them. You kind of touched on it earlier.
Yeah, they have lost their old quarterback Bryce Petty to the NFL. But
who cares though? Who was Bryce Petty 2 years ago? Nobody knew who he was.
Yeah, and. They've always put up numbers, whether it's RG3, who's apparently not good enough to start for the Redskins this year, or it was that Nick Florence dude who played 1 year and threw for like 5 million yards.
Yeah, where's Nick Florence? Is he playing for like the Rhine Fire?
He should be, because he threw for like 6,000 yards. I don't know what happened. And then you got Bryce Petty for 2 years. Petty got hurt, and the new quarterback actually played in like 2 or 3 games last year. He he, you know, knows the system, and he's actually like an Oregon-type quarterback who can run too, so watch out for that. They have 4 out of their 5 offensive linemen back. They have all their running backs and all their receivers. That's not a joke. They're all there. I mean, it's going to be crazy again. You're going to see, like, Baylor up 56-10 at half. Like, what the fuck? They're so cool to watch. I love this team. So, A, they're going to put up a ton of points. 2, TCU is going to be hardcore pissed off this year. People forget that they got hosed last year and should have played in the Final Four over Ohio State.
Oh, so, I don't think people forget, and TCU definitely doesn't forget. And Baylor, too. Art Briles is already fired up.
Yeah.
These teams are both going to be playing with a vengeance.
Exactly. So TCU is already pissed off. People forget that after they got hosed, they had to play a really good Ole Miss team in the Peach Bowl, which is played, I believe, like, you know, somewhere in the SEC land. And they beat them 48-0 or 48-3.
42-3.
That's an absolute.
They smoked them, though. It wasn't that close. That was one of the most one-sided BCS or NY6 games you'll ever see.
People have no idea how impressive that is. You had a senior quarterback. I mean, I know he was whatever, but you had him. You got offensive linemen going number 3, top 5 in the draft. You got the guy on defense who was the defensive end who's going to go top 10. He was the number 1 high school player in the country. A bunch of guys went to the NFL also on their defense, and they still beat them by 6 touchdowns in SEC country. So moral story is TCU and Baylor are going to beat the fuck out of teams all year. Really high scoring. Overs, lay the points. First halves are really good. Tom does a good job with first halves. We need to incorporate more of those this year, especially in teams games like that.
So let me cut in there. And here's something I want to say about the Baylor Bears. I'll let you do your pick after this, and then I'll save my pick. This is their schedule. I've got the Phil Steele's college football guide in
front
of me.
Which is all you really need.
This is all you need. But let me read these off, and I'll get to the point in a second. So you've got September 4th at SMU, September 12th, Lamar, which is just a guy, I think. That's one of those. I'm not sure if it's a team or a dude. They're actually just playing Kendrick Lamar.
It's Odom, I believe.
It's Lamar Odom and Kendrick Lamar, all guys named Lamar.
Yes, it is.
Then they have a bye week before the difficult Rice. Rice is not bad.
Yeah.
By, you know, Baylor non-conference schedule standards.
83-27.
So, I'll take that bet. I think Rice will keep it within 50. Then you got Texas Tech, who has been really struggling. That's at a neutral site. Then you have at Kansas, who is trying to take over the reins from the UConn Huskies as the worst team.
They are.
And then you've got Mr. Holgerson's Red Bull West Virginia team. So that's, you know, that is going to be a tough one, but that's a revenge game. Then you have Iowa State, and then a bye week, and then November 5th at Kansas State is really the first. I mean, depending on how you feel about West Virginia, I think there's a very good chance you're going to see an undefeated 8-0 Baylor team going into November at Kansas State. Then the schedule gets tough. But we were going to save any Heisman talk for later, but I think you're going to see a surprise Heisman contender of Seth Russell, who's going to be throw for like 3,000 yards in those first 8 games. Everyone's going to be high on him. And then they're going to get the meat of that schedule in the last month, and then we'll see what happens. And TCU's just as good. Their schedule is a little bit tougher, but they're definitely capable of beating everybody. Yep. So who's going to win it, Dan?
TCU's going to win it. As much as it kills me to say that, I picked TCU to win the conference. I picked them to play in the national title as well against Ohio State.
That's tough. You got to pick Ohio State, who you don't care for, and yep. You have to pick your Baylor Bears to lose to TCU.
I do. I know. It's a very hard schedule. One other point about the Big 12, Oklahoma State has a really easy schedule. They have a lot of talent back. I know they've been had a couple quiet games or quiet years, but quarterback back, Mike Gundy, offensive genius, great home field advantage. They play all the hard teams at home this year, including TCU and Baylor and Kansas State. They play all 3 in Stillwater, which is really big. So with a couple breaks, Oklahoma State could be a dark horse. If you want to put a little money on them, I believe you get them at like 80-1 to win the national title, which is kind of fun.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I think they are going to be much better. I think they're going to give teams trouble. National title, I think you're throwing your money away, frankly.
All you have to do is like make the Final Four, and you can hedge the shit out of that for a ton of profit.
That is true. I would tell people not to sleep on Oklahoma. Oklahoma, you know, when they play big games and they're going into the season ranked number two, they tend to struggle sometimes. But when they go in with low expectations, they tend to exceed them. They're a little bit like Missouri in that regard, where it's good when they start off the season ranked, you know, considered third best in the conference. I think you really got to look out for Oklahoma, especially if this air raid offense comes to fruition and is everything that people think. It does trouble me a little bit that they're taking like leftover QBs from Texas Tech, but
right,
you know, and that Trevor Knight was supposedly a Heisman candidate and now he can't even win a starting job.
You're right.
But everywhere else, they've got Samaje Perine, who's going to be one of the best running backs in the country, maybe a sleeper Heisman candidate. They're going to hopefully open up the offense a little more. They've always got one of the best defenses in the country. So I would not pencil that one in for Baylor and TCU yet.
You're right. Because anything can happen. And you, like you were saying, how like Art Briles and Baylor is going to be 8-0 going into November.
Yeah.
They got to play West Virginia, who beat them last year. So, you know, it's a weird conference because everyone can score points. And if you can score points, and you can, you know, hold your team to field goal attempts. You know how college football special teams are. You know, maybe a team goes up and down the field, but then you hold them to a field goal attempt. Maybe he misses it. Maybe you block it. Maybe it's only 3 points, then you score seven. So Big 12's tricky because everyone can score.
Much like the Pac-12, which we'll get to later, I think there is a lot of potential for teams to lose a game or two in, you know, 48-43 type shootout. And that's always trouble when you're playing those types of games because a couple plays could really turn the tide. So I'm going to go out on a limb, actually, and pick TCU, followed by Oklahoma and Baylor, actually dropping a couple games in November to finish third in the Big 12. Or maybe some sort of tie scenario. Anybody else in the conference you think deserves consideration?
Not really, no.
How about your boy Dana Holgorsen? Is he going to get fired this year?
No way. He always finds a way to win 8 or 9 games. He just put a guy in the NFL who went 8 overall in Kevin White. They somehow were the only team to, well, besides Michigan State, to beat, you know, Baylor. So, and it's West Virginia. There's nothing going on there. All you got to do is win 9 games and get the teams, and you know, all the inbred mountain folk a little bit happy. That's right. I said it. It's actually proven. Don't worry about it.
I found it to usually be the opposite. When you live in a place with nothing going on, you care about your team that much more. Look how people in San Diego don't give a fuck because it's the most beautiful city in America.
Bellport.
If Philip Rivers is blowing a game with Marty Schottenheimer, they don't care. They're at the beach.
Z, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to take back what I said. All right, I'm going to agree with you. There you go.
I think Holgorsen's going to be on the hot seat. And not just because he drank too many Red Bulls and his internal organs are shutting down.
Valid point.
All right. I think other than that, I think Texas Tech's going to continue to struggle. K-State has a lot of turnover. Snyder's a great coach. He'll make it competitive against everyone, but they're not there this year. And who else? Iowa State. Rhodes will be fired by the end of the year, 100%.
Yep.
Kansas might be the worst team in college football.
Horrible.
And who else am I forgetting, Dan? The Big 12, by the way, is going to be 14 or 16 teams in a few years.
I don't know. There's like 100. There's like 100 teams in there. They're hard. They're hard to keep track of.
Let's just get it out there now. Let's get Boise State, BYU.
Yep.
And then a couple of those Texas teams like Houston and I don't know. SMU or somebody.
Yeah.
Get 4 more teams in there, make it 16, 8-8, and then play a conference championship game.
I don't know what you're talking about, Z. SMU's in the AAC, the Atlantic American, African-American, Atlantis.
It's Dan, don't be rude. The AAC stands for the Awful Athletic Conference. We've been over this.
Know. There's a lot of AAs. Alcohol is Anonymous. Row AA when you go see a concert. I don't know. No one knows what it really means, but there's a team in Texas that plays on the ocean, I guess. I don't know. And they're in Dallas, but what do I know?
So me and you think that Houston's going to improve their program, and they're gonna hopefully get an invite to the Big 12 if that happens.
Okay.
Maybe some other team. SMU. Yeah.
16 teams, 8 on each side with a nice conference title game. And they'll send someone to the playoff every year.
Yep. You put any Texas team in the Big 12 and they'll become good within, 8 years.
UT.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's talk about Texas. So they don't have the talent to compete this year. Tyrone Swoops is going to be playing at McNeese State next year. So I would say if you're a Texas fan, just get it over with. Don't, don't drag this out and like try to kill yourself. He doesn't fit the Charlie Strong system. He's not going to last. Just cut ties now and go to one of the younger guys. And that's it. It'll be less painful in the long run.
So good.
I'm sorry, Texas. I like Texas. I wish they were better, but it's time to move forward. Strong's a great coach, but they're not going to do it while they're sort of clinging to like the old era with Swoops and some of the other guys. So just get all the young guys in there and just build to the future.
I agree. I totally agree.
I think they'll be tough, though. I think they're going to cover some spreads and get some unders with Texas this year.
Yep. A lot of unders. Charlie Strong really knows how to put a lot of good, he's excellent defense. I mean, look at the players he's put in the NFL. Even guys who went, late in the draft have turned out to be good. Look at your own Buffalo Bills. How's Mr. Preston Brown working out? He's going to start.
Yeah, Texas. I was reading an article yesterday about Texas and Florida. Even though they've been down the last few years, they've still produced tons of NFL talent, which basically just says that your coaching is not up to snuff.
Right.
With Florida, that'll come as no shock. With Texas, I think Strong just needs a few years like he did at Louisville to really turn them into an upper echelon program. So a couple years, gets a little more turnover at Baylor, get Boykins out at TCU, and then Texas can swoop in, pardon the pun.
That was a good pun. And we're done with the Big 12 on that note.
All right, Danny.
Bring it.
You ready?
Oh,
all right.
Ready.
Your boys out west. Now, I think, in my personal opinion, the Pac-12 South is actually the second best division in football this year.
Wow.
Obviously, the SEC West is just killer.
Yeah.
The Big Ten East, I think, has some really good talent. Mm-hmm. But to me, you've got USC, who should be much improved. UCLA, who's like a top 10 ranked to start the team and has a stud freshman quarterback. Arizona State, who I want to get your take on. Arizona, who had a great year last year, played in the New Year's Six.
They have everyone back.
Utah, who has most everyone back and is a hell of a place to play.
Yeah.
And then, that other team that we don't really need to talk about. Colorado. We do need to talk about them because you have a theory.
We will talk about them later when we pick games.
Okay. So take it away.
First of all, congratulations to Arizona just for a state. I mean, you got two really good teams this year in college football. And I mean, there's only two colleges here. I mean, or not really. Actually, there's a lot, but,
That's fine. They're like the reverse New Mexico. New Mexico's got two teams and they're two of the worst.
I know, it's true. So I'm really excited to see what's going on this year with both teams. Both teams have a ton of talent back. Arizona State should put up 55 points plus a game. Arizona's going to score a ton. Both teams have a ton of returning players. Arizona State's got explosive players at the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver spot. It's going to be a lot of fun. And overs all day with both teams all year.
Are you buying the UCLA-USC hype?
I'm not buying the UCLA hype all the way, but I do like the USC hype. they are really, really good this year. And Oregon, in theory, should not be as good as they've been. So if USC is going to win the Pac-12, they got to do it this year.
Well, forget about Oregon. I mean, just getting through their own division, I think, is going to be a little bit difficult.
I know. True.
I have two schools of thought. I mean, my first is that those teams are so good, you would think one would emerge as just totally dominant, a playoff caliber team, whether it's USC, Arizona State as a sort of sleeper playoff team, even Oregon from the north, or even Stanford has been tossed around. My other thought is that these teams are so good, they might beat up on each other. Pac-12 might end up getting left out of the playoffs somehow if everybody drops two games.
That's possible.
I mean, I could definitely see a situation where Michigan State only has one loss and Ohio State's in, or a team like Auburn and Alabama both get in.
Yeah.
This could be the year. This could be the year where we get two teams from the same division.
It's very
same conference, rather.
Yeah. Or maybe same divisions. It's very possible.
So I am going to go out on a limb and I'm going to pick the Arizona State Sun Devils, Danny.
That would be great.
I think they're going to be, they're one of my, I got three sleeper teams this year, and they're one of them. And I think they're going to have a great, great year. I mean, they looked awesome last year. They've got Berkovici coming in at starting quarterback, who was, I think, just as good as Taylor Kelly.
Right.
I don't think they're going to lose a step.
No.
UCLA, I think, is a little overrated, as you said, especially with a freshman QB. That's a lot to ask. And then USC. My attitude with USC is I know they have a ton of talent, but I'll believe that they're back to greatness when I see it.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I love your ASU pick. And if you want to fly out here for a game anytime, you let me know. Especially like early November would be really good. It's so beautiful here that time of year if we come for a week. I just put that out there.
Oh, yeah. When's Oregon coming to town?
I'm going to look this up kind of as I ramble because I can multitask.
Now using this podcast for information and personal errands.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what 2015 is. I mean, it's very hard. But anyway, in all seriousness, ASU is going to score a bunch of points. I love them. USC has a ton of talent, but with this whole Sarkisian off-season pills and alcohol fiasco, it just is a weird kind of karma vibe thing, and I feel like that actually might have tipped the scales in ASU's favor. But who knows? This side of the conference is wide open, and it'll be a lot of fun to see how it plays out.
So what are you thinking about up north? I mean, I think Oregon's still the team. I'm glad they finally named Vernon Adams starting QB, which I think was inevitable. He was a good player at Eastern Washington. We'll see how he translates. Part of me thinks that they just have to take a step back. But then you look at the rest of their team. The rest of their team is just as talented as last year when they made the championship. Also, a thing people don't take into account is how much they lost by the time they reached that championship game. They were playing without seven starters or something like that.
Yeah,
and without
ton of injuries.
Of the wide receivers. So those guys are all back.
Addison. Ipo Mumfrey, whatever the freaking corner was, a first round talent, blew his knee. I mean, a lot. They're missing a lot, and I think Marcus Mariota was hurt too in the title game.
So let me throw out a name, and I want to get your reaction. T. Martin,
Vernon Adams. It's very possible. T. Martin is the guy who won the title for Tennessee the year after Peyton Manning left and won the who lost the Heisman Trophy to Charles Woodson. But somehow
Peyton Manning, you know, the greatest quarterback ever, played at Tennessee, yet couldn't win the big one against Florida. T. Martin comes in first game, which I was at. He almost loses to Syracuse. He had to complete like a 4th and 10 or something in the dome, which he I think got on like a questionable holding call, if I remember correctly.
You're right.
Or questionable pass interference.
Whatever.
And drove them down, and they scored and just barely beat Syracuse, and then somehow they went on to win the national title that year.
Yeah, that happened.
I mean, Syracuse, this was old Syracuse, so they were like 9-4. They weren't like -1-12 Syracuse like we have now.
Speaking of offseason stuff, can we congratulate former Syracuse stud quarterback Don McNabb of getting a DUI literally 2 miles from where I live? during the offseason. And here in Arizona, they don't mess around with that. So he has to go and actually do 90 days in jail now. So congratulations, Don McNabb.
McNabb is in jail?
He has to do jail time because he freaking hit a lady. Like, I'm not lying, Tom. 2 miles from my apartment, he smashed into a lady and his blood alcohol is over the limit. Second offense, mandatory jail time. Don wow. McNabb behind bars. Congratulations, Syracuse. You've hit rock bottom.
See, I was going to make a joke about how the field sobriety test was to throw a ball to a wide open wide receiver 5 yards away.
Nope.
And he actually wasn't drunk. He just couldn't do it. But I guess that would be in bad taste now that I know he's going to jail.
Syracuse football has now hit a new low because they were holding on to the past, and now that's over. So there you go.
Yep. Time to move forward, Syracuse football.
A quick aside before we break down the Pac-12 North. Oregon visits Arizona State this year, October 29th.
I'll be in Paris.
But, damn.
Good let's pick you. Another game. I'll come down. I'm due for an Arizona trip.
Unfortunate, because the very next night is the opening night for the NBA season, and Phoenix hosts Portland, where they're retiring Steve Nash's jersey. And I'm going to that.
That's a big week.
You would have loved to go to the Nash retirement jersey night.
It's too bad.
I know, but I am going to that as well, for sure. Anyway.
All right, so anyway, I don't think Oregon's going to win the national title. I just... the more I think about it, like, they're really only missing one guy, who is Mariota, who granted was awesome, but Vernon Adams is no joke.
No, huge numbers.
So I think they're still going to be right there in contention. I'm going to take the winner of that game, them versus Arizona State, as your Pac-12 champion.
Okay, I like it. I'm on board with that.
All right, any thoughts on any of the other North teams? Mike Leach, Chris Peterson?
I'm not sure what to expect of Washington. I would recommend just going unders all year with them. Washington State, no clue. Oregon State, I don't know. They probably got Sean Mannion playing for the 15th year in a row or something. I think he played for 10 years. But yeah, so I don't know. We'll see.
He's actually still there under another name. Like Dan Dickow at Gonzaga is still playing. Blake Stepp, that's just the same guy. Adam Morrison, they're just all one shaggy-haired white dude.
34 years old, still playing.
Yeah, still got it.
Yeah, real good.
Moving along, the question of the year, Dan, who is going to win the horrible ACC, rather? Is it still Florida State's? I mean, they've got the most talent, but they're losing. You know, they barely won most of their games with Heisman winner and number one draft pick, Jameis Winston. Now they get Mr. Turnover, Everett Golson.
I completely agree. They are a wild card. I actually like Clemson. I think they have similar NFL talent. They put a ton of guys in the pros at all positions.
Well, that might be the problem, Dan, is they put too many guys in the pros and they've only got two returning starters on D.
But I'm not worried because they always score points. So I'm going to roll dice with Clemson this year, do Clemson overs, just like the good old days with Taj Boyd and Sammy Watkins and Martavis Bryant and all those boys. CJ Spiller.
I definitely think Florida State's vulnerable. I think they're going to drop at least two. I got to say, I want Georgia Tech to run that option and just beat teams, but their schedule is just compared to like FSU and other teams, Georgia Tech has a much tougher schedule. Clemson's Clemson. I just don't picture them. It's sort of impossible for me to picture them beating Florida State. But again, that's one of those things that it's got to happen eventually, you would think. I'm going to say 0% chance. Well, 2% chance of getting an ACC team in the playoff this year. Clemson's got a slight chance. Florida State's got a slight chance. That's about it. Georgia Tech could go undefeated. They'll never let them in the playoff.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Be like, you're too smart. Get out of here.
You're spot on that one.
So I guess we can just forget that conference.
Yep.
We'll get in, you know, with the caveat, we'll get into all these teams as the season progresses.
Absolutely.
The reason we don't do as many bets this week is because week one is like the most impossible week to bet. We don't really know anything about the teams.
Exactly.
So you're taking a huge gamble, metaphorically and literally. SEC.
Yes.
I got two sleepers in the SEC.
Okay.
My remaining two sleepers. Let's start in the East, where I feel more comfortable giving away my sleeper right away. That is the Missouri Tigers. They should not be a sleeper, but somehow they are once again. Georgia, I was watching a show called Georgia Season Preview on the SEC Network last night. This show should have been 2 minutes. They should have come out and said, it's Georgia. Mark Rick's still the coach. They'll be 10-3. They'll finish ranked number 9 in the country.
Yeah, that is correct.
They'll be the best three-loss team in America.
Every year.
And then Florida is not going to be ready. So to me, Missouri is in the perfect position to replenish some of that defensive talent and step right in with Matty Mock running around and making random plays and go right back there and win. Missouri's got a little bit of a tough. Well, here's the thing. Every SEC schedule's tough, and Missouri has some tough games, but it's manageable, the schedule, by SEC standards. So I'm picking them to win the East. And then get smashed, absolutely smashed in the championship game.
Okay.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Missouri's very sneaky. I mean, they just keep popping up in these SEC title games, and they're a tough out, and they put a lot of guys in the pros too. So I kind of like your pick there. The rest of the SEC East is like all got question marks. You know, your South Carolinas, Florida, Georgia. Who knows?
Tennessee.
Game of horseshoe.
People love Tennessee this year, Dan, based on pretty much nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't like their head coach. I never liked Butch Jones. I'm going to go with Georgia to win it. I'm going to say Nick Chubb somehow makes it happen, and they win 10 regular season games. But it's kind of a coin flip. The SEC East is wide open.
Do you think that Georgia's the playoff contending team that many think?
No, I don't think they're a playoff contending team, but I think they're good enough to win that side of the East.
All right. Well, then let's go to the West.
Well, perfect, because it's unbelievable.
The West is, I mean, I said last year this is the best division I've ever seen, and somehow I think it got better.
Ever. Of all time. It's not fair. Arkansas would easily finish top 3 in the Big Ten.
Yes.
With ease.
Yep.
Yep.
All of those teams would win the SEC East or at least be very close with Georgia. All of them would finish top 3 in the Big Ten.
ECC.
All of them would finish top 3 in the Pac-12 North. They would beat the majority of Big 12 teams.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
All right.
Oh, they would all win the ACC.
Correct.
All of them.
All right. I'm just going to start talking about teams because I love them all.
Well, I've got a little order I'd like to go in. I want to start with Alabama because they're the Kings.
Okay. I think Alabama's the most overrated team in college football, hands down.
Whoa, Dan. That's a bold, bold statement.
Wow. I know. And that's not because I don't like them. It's not.
They've got the toughest schedule in the country.
Number one, toughest schedule. Two, they have a new quarterback. He didn't play last year, but we'll see. Three, Lane Kiffin is kind of weird. He's already up to no good, saying how they have the best incoming freshman wide receiver class in the history of college football. And then Nick Saban came out the next day and was like, they haven't proven anything. Shut your mouth. So that's pretty funny.
If it makes you feel better, Bob Diaco of UConn said that they're going to make the playoff. He was serious too.
He's on methamphetamine or psychedelics or both.
I think he meant the UConn flag football playoff that you were in 10 years ago.
I love that. 15 years ago. Don't sell me short. So anyway, Alabama's overrated. They still have a ton of talent. Don't get me wrong, but all those other teams have made huge leaps with coaching and recruiting and talent. And they've closed the gap to it's razor thin all of a sudden. And I'm starting to think that Nick Saban made a bad decision staying in Alabama. I think he should have left for UT. I really believe that. I think he could have waxed people down there. I think he could have got all the recruiting he wanted. I think Alabama's way overrated this year, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them lose 3 or 4 games this year.
Wow. Dan, I have heard they have one of the best defenses ever. They have Drake, who's an awesome running back. They have O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
They have what's the name of that
Henry,
receiver?
The running back.
Henry, he's great. And then they have that receiver who's, what's his name, Ardarius or something like that.
They have these freak freshman kids that are in there who are just absurd. So, look, I'm not saying that. Like, they have tons of talent, but talent needs to gel, and their coaching staff's a little messed up. They, you know, over the past few years, they've lost their longtime defensive coordinator. They've switched the offense. You got it, – it's just weird. It's hard to explain, and I think Alabama's going to struggle. And if they have an injury to the quarterback, they I'm not joking, they could win 7 games.
That, I'm going to say, is the prediction of the year, not just by you, but by anyone.
Fair enough.
That's bold, Dan. I commend you for your boldness in an age where people are just picking Ohio State, TCU, like Oregon. Everybody's predictions this year have been no guts.
So
I commend you.
Thank you very much, Tom. I just call it like I see it. I think this is the worst Alabama team we've seen in 7 years.
Moving on to we should note that you're clearly biased for Auburn, who you really like.
I love Auburn. Auburn's really, really good this year. They have a slightly more favorable schedule than Alabama. They do play Alabama at home this year. Their quarterback, Jeremy Johnson, played a little bit last year when Nick Marshall was out with suspensions or injuries or whatever. The coaching staff actually considered going to Jeremy Johnson halfway through the year. But they decided against it, which is really interesting to me.
He's at least as good as Nick Marshall, I would say.
And I think with another year under his belt of watching Marshall make mistakes last year, watch out. He's huge. He is Cam Newton type size, 6'5", 6'6", 250, 260 beast. They have 3 unbelievable running backs who could play anywhere they want in the country. One's Mr. Alabama. One is a transfer from, I think it's Georgia Military College. Kid ran for, I think, 2,600 yards last year. Just absurd.
Javon.
Yeah, so Auburn really took advantage of moving him in. Wide receiver core, they did lose Sammy Coates to the pros, but don't worry. Our boy, Mr. Duke Williams, is an absolute stone-cold one. He's going top 15 in the draft. They also added the number one JUCO transfer wide receiver in the country. So they added the number one JUCO running back and wide receiver transfer onto that offense, onto a Gus Malzahn offense that scored at least 21 points in every single game he's coached at Auburn. So big points. And then on the other side of the ball.
But nobody doubted their offense.
But then we go to the other side of the ball. And as much as he was a bad head coach, Muschamp is a genius defensive coordinator. He really is. He knows his shit.
Dan, did you just compliment Will Muschamp?
Yeah, I did, because sometimes bad head coaches are really good coordinators, and they get moved up to be head coaches because of how well they are at being a coordinator, but not as a leader on both sides of the ball. And you see it a lot in the pros, but Muschamp can only improve that awful defense last year, and the offense is going to score. Auburn could have a really special year this year, a la 2-3 years ago, and I know they have a hard schedule. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're going 13-0, but they got a lot of heart and they're deep. And I love Malzahn. And I think they will beat Alabama in the Auburn or in the Iron Bowl. And I think they're going to win the SEC, period.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I got them in the playoff. I think they're an outstanding team. Schedule's a little bit tough. But that's to be expected when you play in the SEC West. I would like to get your thoughts on LSU because I see them certainly trending in a certain direction.
LSU, same as it ever was. Absolutely loaded players on all sides of the ball. Defensive tackles going top 10. Leonard Fournette killing everyone running the ball. Wide receivers coming out of nowhere. They just don't have a quarterback, and they've never had a quarterback. And as good as everyone else is on that team, they're going to have a problem scoring points. So look for them to win their low-scoring games, you know, 20-10, and you know, just try to win those low-scoring games. I love Les Miles. I think he's an underrated head coach. People think he's kind of weird. which he is, but he's effective. And it's just a shame they can't get a stud quarterback, because that's what's holding back from being, you know, a really elite team. I think LSU is probably like the 15th or 20th best team in the country this year.
Every year we hear about how LSU is about to open up the offense, and we hear it again this year.
It's impossible.
It's just never going to happen, is it? They'll never trust their quarterback to do it. Plus, they have such great running backs. It's going to be the problem. The problem with them this year will be the problem they've always had, which is their defense is so good, but they run the ball constantly. They can't convert first downs. They can't get points. And eventually the defense just gets too tired and gives up some points, and they lose, like, you know, 24 to 16 or whatever.
Exactly.
As much as I love LSU, they've been, you know, probably my favorite team in that conference for the last 10 years. I always have them overrated. I always pick them way higher than they belong. This would be the year where I'm going the opposite way. I think they're in trouble. I think they're going to finish like fifth in that division at best, maybe sixth.
Yeah.
And it's all because of a lack of a QB. It's also because of one other factor, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
So the Mississippi teams.
Absolutely. I love the Mississippi teams. I think both Mississippi teams are the two most underrated teams in the entire country, possibly.
So Ole Miss just today named Chad Kelly, who is Jim Kelly's nephew, the Jim Kelly. He'll be your starter. Now, based on the performance of one Nick Montana, I'm not sure if I trust relatives of great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But if he performs, man, they are absolutely loaded at every other position.
No, it's crazy. They are really loaded. They have about three or four players who could go in the top 20 of the draft, including two top 10 players. They're loaded, and their piece of shit old quarterback, Bo Wallace, never did anything, and he was always mediocre. So if this kid's just mediocre, it's going to be the same thing. I mean, they beat Alabama last year. They have so much talent, wide receiver, defensive end, offensive lineman, running backs. Ole Miss, I'm really happy to see them, you know, finally be competitive. They had such a great year last year. I was happy. Me and you were on board with them early and often last year.
Right. So I'm going to differ from you slightly on this. You say that basically the quarterback's job is to not screw it up this year, like Bo Wallace. I disagree. I think Ole Miss has playoff caliber potential, but they need a quarterback who steps up and makes big plays. And I hope that the coaches don't tell whoever starts, or Chad Kelly when he starts, to, you know, manage the game and just not be afraid and not make turnovers. I hope they sort of turn him loose and tell him to go out there and make plays, because I think him as a game manager gets them to, you know, 10-2, maybe 9-3. But I think him, if he has a great season, gets them to like top five ranking. So just put your cards on the table and go for it.
Okay, there you go.
And we'll see early on whether they do that. Mississippi State, I mean, man, it's hard to say, but they're going to finish probably in the bottom half of this division, and it's just because everybody else is too good.
How many times have you ever seen a team be ranked number one for multiple weeks in the previous year and return their head coach and starting quarterback and get picked last in their side of their conference? Just think about that for a minute.
It's got to be the first time ever.
It has to be. I mean, it's insane. Mississippi State's 66-1 to win it all, but Dak Prescott might win the Heisman Trophy. It's totally crazy. Now, I know they've lost a bunch of players on both sides, but they're so good. And, like, one of these random game, like, you know, Mississippi State could just go on a run and win 10 games again. It's so weird. Like, the SEC West is such a mess. I think we should probably be taking the points in all SEC West matchups pretty much the whole year.
I think so. And I think this is going to be much like I said with the Pac-12. I expect one to two teams to sort of rise above the field and the rest of the teams to just slug it out and all end with very similar records. I think the team ranked number three at the end of the year and the team ranked number seven at the end of the year are not going to be much different, maybe a couple games difference.
I think you're right.
All right, Danny. Texas A&M, a team we both love very much.
Another one.
This is my third sleeper. And the reason for this is twofold. First off, maybe you want to talk about You're a native Arizonan.
That's
Is it
right.
Arizonan? Arizonian?
I'm not sure because I'm not either way.
Right. But I'm talking about Kyle Allen, who is super talented.
That's right.
People don't know, Dan. He's going to be a Heisman. He's going to be in the discussions for the Heisman at some point. I'm not saying he'll be in New York at the end, but at some point during the season, we're going to talk about him for Heisman, and people are going to be like, where did this kid come from? And the answer is Scottsdale, motherfucking Arizona.
He came from the mean streets of Scottsdale, and his parents probably only made like $3 million a year. So, like,
so he had it hard.
You don't know what kind of hard upgrading, like, dude. Like, he had to go to like In-N-Out Burger because he didn't have money to go to Red Robin. Like, it was bad. So,
In-N-Out Burgers cost $17 there, if I'm not mistaken.
In-N-Out is the greatest. Anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. Another reason to move out west. Kyle Allen's great. When he was in high school, depending on where you looked, he was sometimes ranked the number one player or number one quarterback in all of high school, which is crazy. He's got big NFL size. He's perfect for that offense. We know what Kevin Sumlin can do with the crazy, alcoholic, cocaine-loving quarterbacks. So if he just kind of stays away from that, he'll be okay. But all joking aside, he's a real talent. He's going to put up huge numbers in their system. A&M's done a good job switching their coaching staff on defense. They're going to continue to improve. A&M's just going to continue to be a real power. And it's funny, they've passed LSU over the past 2 or 3 years. And LSU and A&M, because of where they're located on a map, people don't realize because they're different states, they have the same area where they like to recruit. And for years, LSU had the hold on it. And now A&M has taken over the recruiting hub in that area. So bad news for LSU. A&M on the upswing. Love Kyle Allen. Love Kevin Sumlin. Love the energy. Love the stadium. Love 35,000 students at a college game. That's crazy. I mean, very cool.
So Sumlin is an awesome coach. I think we all agree on that. They are loaded with skill position talent, like loaded. Their offensive line is loaded. Kyle Allen, I think, is going to be great. If he's great, they're going to score 45, 50 points a game, and they'll be able to outscore most teams. So the only problems they really had last year, you think of them as a down year last year, but I think they finished 8-5, which is respectable in that division. The problems were number one, Kenny Trill couldn't be consistent. Remember that dude? He's going to be a trivia question in just a few
years.
You just
casually dropped that like it was common knowledge. So Kenny Trill started. Oh, okay.
Do people not know about Kenny Trill?
Well, they should know about Kenny Trill.
He should be in a like a warning PSA about giving people nicknames too early. It's dangerous, Dan.
I love that.
So anyway, I'm looking at stability at the quarterback position for this year, which I think they'll have found. The other big thing, you can't count this enough. John Chavis is just an awesome defensive coordinator. You look at all the talent LSU has, but everybody's got talent in that league. The reason LSU has been like the defensive class of the SEC, which makes them one of the best defenses in the nation, is because of Chavis has been, he just gets after them and they play with this intensity that you don't see at any other school. So even if they still have the same exact talent as last year, he's going to come in and bring a new energy and they're going to be fired up. And their defense, I think, is going to improve drastically this year. And as you mentioned, they've gotten some new talent. So I'm picking them as a top 10 team, Dan.
Okay, and, I love it.
I'm picking them to finish second or third in the West, just behind, I'm going to say second behind Auburn, possibly tied with Alabama.
I like it.
But I think you're going to see them knock off a couple big teams. I think they beat either Auburn or Alabama. I think they beat like an LSU. I think they... Man, that first game against Arizona State, it's too bad two of my sleeper teams have to play each other in the first game.
That blows.
So whoever, you know, if they can win that, I think season's going to shape up well. I like them a lot. Top 10. Better than Georgia.
I like it.
Kenny Trill.
Trill. True.
Anything you want to say about any other non-Power 5 team?
Nope.
All right, I'll give you a full report next week about my experience at the UConn-Villanova game on Thursday.
can't wait to hear about it. Looking forward to it.
All right, Dan, we got 10 minutes left in the show. I want some bets. I have not studied the line. I've been lackadaisical, trying to figure out what teams I think are going to win divisions and sleepers and all that. So I'm sort of just going to turn it over to you for the lines. What do you got?
All right. I'm going to give you just a handful of picks for this week with some real quick analysis. I'm only going to pick probably four or five games. Here's one I like. Oklahoma State at Central Michigan. Oklahoma State minus 24.5. Central Michigan is horrible. Really, really, really horrible. But it'll be beautiful weather in Michigan that time of year. First game of the year. Over-under is only 55.5. Not enough, folks. You're going to want to go ahead and take the over in that game. Oklahoma State might score 56 by themselves.
So are we betting the line as well or just the over?
Just the over.
Okay, I like that. Central Michigan was a bowl team, Dan. Don't discount them. They can score some points. Is Central Michigan was in that crazy Bahamas Bowl, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Which was like the second greatest game I think I've ever seen.
Of all time.
If you ignore the fact that the teams, like, it really didn't matter and the teams weren't great.
It doesn't matter, but...
That was one of the best bowl games ever. Nothing will ever beat the 07 Fiesta Bowl, of course.
That's right. Yeah, that was a whole nother level.
That was the greatest sporting game of any sport of all time.
It really was. It was so fantastic to watch.
Give us Colorado, Dan.
Okay, Colorado. Since 2007, Colorado has won, count them, 3 games on the road by a combined 7 points. This week, they're on the road at Hawaii laying 8. I'm taking Hawaii in the 8 at home. I don't know if they're any good. I don't know if they even have a football team anymore. But I'm going with the team, or I'm going against a team that in 8 years has only won 3 road games. So let's go with Hawaii.
Not to mention, this is a great bet. Not to mention, Hawaii is a, 8 hours, 9 hour flight from Colorado.
Yes.
Extremely long flight. They're going to be very tired. I think Norm Chow is still coaching out there, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
So they're going to, they can put up some points. It doesn't matter. You could be the quarterback with Norm Chow and you would still put up 40.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate that.
So, yeah, take the points. First time of the season saying it.
Take the points with Hawaii.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, game number 3. a very good game. A game that Mr. Tom alluded to earlier, sucking for his 2 sleepers. We got Arizona State against Texas A&M. And this is, I believe, at the Jerry Dome again. A&M minus a field goal at home. That sounds about right. That's a home field advantage. Over under 66. I think you know where I'm going with this.
Not enough. Not enough.
Not even close. Over 66.5. Go ahead and fire that right now before it closes at 72 by kickoff.
82.
I love that bet. I love that bet.
That's a 42-40 game. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, very good. So that's 3. I'm going to give you 2 more. And then we're going to call it a week with bets. The next one, we got TCU against Minnesota. This is a night game, neutral site game. It's only TCU minus 14.5. I'm laying it. I think they're on a mission, and they're going to put a nice exclamation point week 1. Lay the points. Lay the 15 or 14.5 where you can get it with TCU to wax Minnesota.
All right. I'm totally with you on that one.
Okay, very good. And the final wager of the day. No, it's not Penn State at Temple, Tom. Please don't get excited.
7-point line, Dan, against Temple.
That's right. The final week 1 line is going to be Texas at Notre Dame.
Ooh.
Or sorry.
I like that one.
That's a neutral site game. It's Notre Dame minus 10 points. I'm taking Chaz Strong into 10 against Notre Dame. That's right. I might be going out on a limb here, but I don't think Notre Dame's any good at all. In week 1, I think it might be sloppy. You'll see some turnovers. I'm going to take the points with Texas and Hawaii. And then I'm going to bet the overs in Arizona State. And what's the other over? Oh, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Yep. And then lay it with TCU. So those are the five bets.
So let me quickly ask you about a few other games. And
Okay.
you don't have to bet. Just give me your thoughts. So we've got the Monday night game, Ohio State defending champs looking for redemption against Virginia Tech. That's a 13-point line at Virginia Tech.
Lay it.
Okay.
Just flat out lay it. They're going to wax those clowns because everyone made fun of them for a whole year.
Marshall plays Purdue on Sunday night. I'm going to warn people that I know everybody loves Marshall, but be careful about Marshall this year. Let him play a few games before you get on that bandwagon again.
Okay, fair enough.
Alabama host, well, neutral site game. Technically, they're the home team, but it's neutral site. They play Wisconsin, 10.5 points.
I think that's right on. I would lean the under. It's under 51 and a half.
Okay. I wouldn't trust Wisconsin yet
Me
with the
neither.
new coach, and who knows how what's his name with the Yips is going to play and respond this year.
Yips.
I just don't know. Another one I would urge people to be careful is Boise State is a 12.5 point favorite against Washington.
Uh-oh.
Peterson's going to be all jacked up. Boise State's going to be all jacked up. Literally anything could happen in that game. I
You're right.
would, that's the ultimate stay away game.
I like that.
All right, last one, Dan. Your Auburn Tigers, they also are the quote unquote home team, but that's a neutral site. And they're playing Louisville, who a lot of people have as a sleeper ACC champion. Let me say something before you say that. Let me say something about Louisville. It seems like people are pulling them out of thin air, but really all they need is like a decent quarterback and they'll be pretty good. And they have a Penn State transfer named, I think his name's like Tyler Ferguson or something, or that might be the Modern Family guy, but it's something like
Close.
that.
What are the two?
Anyway, the guy from Modern Family played for Penn State and now he's going to Louisville. He's a very good quarterback. The only reason he didn't play at Penn State is because they have Hackenberg. So if he either starts this season or if somebody's good enough to beat him out, then Louisville should have a pretty good quarterback. So I would watch out for them in the ACC.
I think you're right. That's why I don't want to lay the points with Auburn the first time with all those new players. I think it's going to take them a couple weeks to gel. If they can just win the games, doesn't have to be style points. Just accumulate wins early. And I would lean Louisville, but I'm not going to bet against Auburn in case they put on a show. So I'm going to stay away.
So the lesson is that week one is the most impossible week to bet college football. So much turnover, new coaches, new schemes. You don't know what's going on. So be careful this week out there and take notes, and next week we'll be out in full force.
That's right.
Because weeks like two, three, four are some of the best weeks.
Hell yeah, they are. They're really good.
All right, Dan, you have 1 minute left. What do you want to say to people about the upcoming season? Anything to look forward to?
Watch for the unexpected to happen. Watch for a lot of weird upsets this year, just like every other year. Try to take the points with all the SEC West teams. Enjoy the season. It's a great sport, really enjoy it as you watch, Tom Brady going to court again and players missing four games because they smoked weed because they're 22 years old and they play football for a living. And there's a lot of shit with the NFL, and it's nice just to really watch college football and watch kids try as hard as they can so that they can move on to the next level and take care of their families. So enjoy the sport. It's so pure and it's not going anywhere. It'll be like the last sport in the world before like sports get broken down. I'll tell you that
It's the best, absolutely.
So good.
And this is going to be a clusterfuck of a season. I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah.
My bold prediction for the year is going to be two teams from the same conference making the playoff. I don't know
Okay.
who it's going to be. Maybe SEC, maybe Big 12, but
Possible.
that's going to be my bold prediction.
Okay.
So our website, if you're a new listener, is takethepoints.net. You can search Take the Points on iTunes, subscribe to the podcast. I like to listen on my iPhone podcast app. Same thing, search for Take the Points. I think that's the best way to consume the the podcast product. Hit us up on LinkedIn as usual. No, that's actually...
Always send me all the LinkedIn requests you can.
Yep. Please. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn. No, we are on Twitter, although we have like no followers, but me and Dan are on Twitter. If you can figure out our names, then tweet at us.
I'm at Yeezus2020. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I am actually, if you just hashtag Yeezus2020, it goes directly to me.
Okay, that's good. Everyone knows.
So be sure, @ Yeezus2020 for Dan, # Yeezus2020 for Tom.
Right. I'm not sure if you're on the same plan as me. I'm going to give my 2.5 year notice tomorrow at work so I can be ready to be full campaign manager, Arizona representative for Kanye, whatever he needs to win in 2020, I'm on board.
If my plan of getting on the college football selection committee doesn't work out in the next 2 years, then that's going to be my backup plan. Campaign manager for Yeezus 2020 campaign. I've got goals, Dan.
Well, okay. Sorry.
Oh, all right. All right. That's it. See you later next week. Peace.
Peace. Take the point.